Eagle Wings Online Radio.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Topic: ministering to the Lord. What are you doing here again? Sometimes do you find that you wake up with a certain thought or inspiration that just won't leave you alone? It keeps coming back to you time and time again. This, I believe, is how godly inspiration works in many of us. But how do you recognize godly inspiration? Well, it must satisfy four critical questions. 1. Does it give honor and glory to God? 2. Is it in accordance with God's word? 3. Will it contribute to the expansion of God's kingdom? 4. Does it contradict or nullify a previous action of God? If you can confidently answer yes, 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 and no to these questions, then you can be sure it is not originating from Satan. This means it will be in harmony with what our Lord has done. It will aid in expanding God's kingdom. It will give honor and glory to God. And it will be aligned with God's word, signifying its truthfulness. Hallelujah! What more could we seek? The matter that constantly occupies my thoughts, leading to today's discourse, starts with the question, what are you doing here at this moment, and why? Let's take this opportunity to delve into some of our queries and seek understanding from God's truth. Is our coming together merely for fellowship, to be with like-minded people and friends? Acts 2:44, Amplified Bible. And all who believed, who adhered to and trusted in and relied on Jesus Christ were united, and together they had everything in common. This indicates that fellowship is indeed valuable. Nothing wrong with that. Hebrews 10:24, 27, King James Bible. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Hebrews clearly instructs us not to stop meeting together. So when you are here for fellowship, praise the Lord indeed. Let's continue to meet together, enjoy coffee, tea, donuts, sandwiches, potlucks, candies, yes indeed. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, 18, Common English Bible. God didn't intend for us to suffer His wrath, but rather to possess salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with Him. So continue encouraging each other and building each other up, just like you are doing already. Brothers and sisters, we ask you to respect those who are working with you, leading you, and instructing you. Think of them highly with love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are disorderly. Comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure no one repays a wrong with a wrong, but always pursue the good for each other and everyone else. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in every situation, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This passage emphasizes not just the importance of fellowship, but also how our interactions should uplift each other spiritually. Now let's revisit the earlier scripture. Fellowship is good, right? But it's not just about having a good time. We are encouraged to provoke one another to love and good works. How do we do this? Not through indulgence in food or leisure, but through spiritual engagement and mutual support. The letter to the Thessalonians elucidates this further. We are called to be recipients of salvation through Christ, and in our fellowship, we are with Him. Therefore, our fellowship is not only with each other, but also with Jesus Christ. But let's examine our fellowship activities critically. Would Jesus Christ partake in watching a horror movie about vampires, werewolves, or serial killers? Or perhaps engage in watching pornography for entertainment? Certainly not. Galatians 5:19-21, Amplified Bible. Now the doings, practices of the flesh are clear, obvious. They are immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, ill temper, selfishness, divisions, dissensions, party spirit, factions, sects with peculiar opinions, heresies, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible repeatedly warns us about behaviors that are contrary to a life led by the Holy Spirit, such as engaging in acts symbolized by vampires or werewolves. In Revelation, we find verses that metaphorically address such evils. Revelation 9:8. Their hair like women's hair and their teeth like lions' teeth. Revelation 16:6. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. It is what they deserve. Moreover, the law, specifically in Leviticus, explicitly condemns the consumption of blood. Leviticus 17:10-12, New International Version, 1984. Any Israelite or any alien living among them who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut him off from his people. For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Therefore I say to the Israelites, none of you may eat blood, nor may an alien living among you eat blood. The scripture even references a historical figure who suffered from lycanthropy, a condition that can be likened to werewolf legends. This figure was Nebuchadnezzar, who for 7 years grappled with this affliction. Now let's address the question, what is church? Is it just a grand building, like the beautiful structure in Pflugerville owned by the Baptist Church? Church is more than a physical edifice. Matthew 18:18-20, Amplified Bible. Truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. Again I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, harmonize together, make a symphony together, about whatever, anything and everything they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven. For wherever two or three are gathered, drawn together as my followers, into my name, there I am in the midst of them. This brings us back to our original inquiry. Is it for fellowship that we come together, to be with like-minded people and friends? When we gather in fellowship as like-minded individuals, we are also in the fellowship of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God. So let's assess our actions and entertainments. Would we be comfortable showcasing them in church? If not, why would they be acceptable in our personal churches, our homes and gatherings? Our activities, whether in church or at home, should honor God, align with His Word, contribute to the expansion of His kingdom, and uphold His works. In our online and physical church gatherings, we must remember that our role is not just to enjoy fellowship, but also to admonish and encourage one another as the Word teaches us. To sing songs of praise and worship is also a vital part of our gatherings. Psalm 71:22, King James Bible. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. Ephesians 5:19, King James Bible. speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Psalm 150, 1, 6, King James Bible, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness, praise him with the sound of the trumpet, praise him with the psaltery and harp, praise him with the timbrel and dance, praise him with stringed instruments and organs, praise him upon the loud cymbals, praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Yes, indeed, it is wonderful to praise the Lord. We all love to sing and make music, and what could be better than doing so together in our churches? In discussing earlier topics like movies, it's crucial to remember that our house is also our temple, our church, our synagogue, our place of worship. When we gather, even if it's just two or three of us, in the name of the Lord, we must ponder. Are the lyrics or content we indulge in at home appropriate for a church setting? Consider this. Would songs with lyrics like Baby Baby, Hit Me With Your, or those promoting violent or inappropriate themes be suitable for church worship? Absolutely not. Exodus 28:10, King James Bible. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Psalm 37:7, King James Bible. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Philippians 4, 6, 7, Amplified Bible. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Matthew 11:28-29, Common English Bible. Come to me, all you who are struggling hard and carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble, and you will find rest for yourselves. Church time, after our fellowship and praise and worship, is not just a period to close our eyes and rest, but a time to be spiritually recharged. Like a bottle of expensive wine, the kind that Jesus created in his miracle at the wedding of Cana, we are filled with the Word of God, love of God, compassion, laughter, peace of God, kindness to others, goodness in all we do, faithfulness to God, our spouse, and others. We are gentle in all we do and exhibit self-control in how we distribute and receive all these gifts. Matthew 10:8, King James Bible, freely you have received, freely give. This passage illustrates that as we are filled with these blessings, we should freely give them to others. However, there comes a time, typically around the sixth day, when we start running low on these spiritual resources. That's why we come together on the day of rest to recharge, to be filled up, and to get ready to share once again. Hallelujah! That's the essence of this rest. But how do we receive these blessings? Not just by listening, but actively participating in our faith. There is no catch in this. When we gather for the right reasons, which please the Lord, he is eager to pour out his blessings upon us time and time again. Matthew 6:30-35, Amplified Bible. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and green and tomorrow is tossed into the furnace, will he not much more surely clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat? Or what are we going to have to drink? Or what are we going to have to wear? For the Gentiles, heathen, wish for and crave and diligently seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows well that you need them all. But seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And then all these things taken together will be given you besides. So do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble. Today is the Lord's Day, your Sabbath, and you shouldn't be sitting here worrying about the upcoming dinner, tomorrow's bills, or the work that lies ahead. God wants you to minister to Him, which means focusing on Him, glorifying Him, praising Him, hearing His word, and loving Him. How can we do this if we are preoccupied with worries about tomorrow? By setting our actions in His righteousness, we can confidently take each day as it comes, not deferring our responsibilities or obligations. 1 Timothy 4:6. 16, Common English Bible. If you point these things out to the believers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, who has been trained by the words of faith and the good teaching that you've carefully followed. But stay away from the godless myths that are passed down from the older women. Train yourself for a holy life. While physical training has some value, training in holy living is useful for everything. It has promise for this life now and the life to come. This saying is reliable and deserves complete acceptance. We work and struggle for this. Our hope is set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. Command these things. Teach them. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Instead, set an example for the believers through your speech, behavior, love, faith, and by being sexually pure. Until I arrive, pay attention to public reading, preaching, and teaching. Don't neglect the spiritual gift in you that was given through prophecy when the elders laid hands on you. Practice these things and live by them so that your progress will be visible to all. Focus on working on your own development and on what you teach. If you do this, you will save yourself and those who hear you. This teaching applies to all Christians. Paul, in this section, focuses on Timothy, a model of a good minister or Christian leader who must pursue spiritual priorities and be mindful of his lifestyle and calling. However, these principles apply to all believers, just as all believers are to be vitally involved in ministry. The leader or minister is to be a model with God's word and its application central to their ministry and life. Attention to these basics is crucial for effective ministry and godliness, which are inseparable. Effective ministry is God-centered worship. Paul warns against the influence of false teachers who degrade gatherings for worship into speculation about myths and strange doctrines. He refocuses attention on God's word as the source of knowledge about Him and the life of faith. Consistent practice of the public reading of Scripture, preaching, and teaching centers attention on God and sustains a covenant relationship with His people. Preaching is a spirit-directed activity of communicating God's message, and Scripture remains always relevant to God's people. Paul describes salvation as the end result of the good minister's efforts in Christ. Salvation, in the biblical context, signifies a process of development that begins with belief in Christ and ends with His return. In this life, we experience salvation as stages of growth in Christ-likeness, working out our salvation, and drawing spiritual nourishment from God's Word. Faithfulness in carrying out God's calling is vital for the salvation process, especially for Christian leaders. Effective ministry involves applying the Word of God to individual lives and all situations. In 1 Samuel, we see that Samuel ministered unto the Lord in his temple. With Jesus Christ as our high priest, we are all called to minister to the Lord. He has given us his Holy Spirit, his Ruach HaKodesh, to enable us to fulfill this task. Acts 13, 2, King James Bible. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Ministering to the Lord is our primary purpose when we gather together, for in doing so, the Lord also ministers to us. Psalm 71, 20, 24, King James Bible. "Thou, which hast shewed me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt." When we are ultimately called to be with Jesus, the Lord increases our greatness and surrounds us with his comfort. It is indeed a blessing to be in the house of the Lord, ministering to him whom we love so dearly, and in return also to be ministered to by him. How great and glorious is his holy name. Amen.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.